Parik Alert Network, SEAL Podcast, the Earthling known as Empire 343 has sent me to exterminate Dave, Neil, and Fraser's excessive audio hardware collection. I will exterminate, exterminate, exterminate!
Hey everybody, and welcome to the SEAL Podcast, episode number 74. Oh, goddamn, I forgot it, didn't I?
You've not done it again.
Okay, no, I'm going to start over again.
It's going to be something shit like knock at the door.
It's going to be knock on the door.
It is. Everybody, and welcome to the SEAL Podcast. Hit the floor, it's episode 74.
Great. Amazing. Incredibly waited for that.
Yeah, three takes, and was it worth it?
Of course it was.
There was another one, actually. Candy Store, it's episode 74.
I don't know that one.
Hit the floor is better, eh?
Hit the floor.
So
you might do it at 74 by the sound of it.
Maybe. So yes, thank you very much for joining us on this episode number 74 on April the 9th. I'm just making sure that I know the date. It's my anniversary today.
Yeah. Ooh, happy anniversary.
Yeah, 16 years. Get less for murder. I absolutely wind my wife up by saying that all the time. I could have been married for 3 weeks. Get less for murder.
And so you are, really, I guess.
Yeah. On my left, I'm joined on my left by Neil.
Hello.
On my right by we're joined on my left by Neil. We all are. On our right by Dave.
Hello.
And bringing up the rear, a special guest today is Steve Pendlebury.
Hello.
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 Hello. You brought me back.
Yeah, it's nice to see you.
To see you, nice.
Yeah, you doing all right?
doing all right. COVID times might be different over here. I don't know how it is over there.
I mean, it's different all over. I mean, we're back down into a new lockdown, which started a few days ago.
We're almost out of ours. Mm. Everyone's getting their shots now.
Yeah, well, everyone's saying, yeah, just fill those baseball stadiums. Who cares, eh?
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, most people are being a little bit previous about it. Sure. Spring break. Yeah, sure.
But you and your family are healthy, though? Healthy and well?
Yes, we are. We're about 50% down with our shots.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. No sign of ours yet, so.
No.
Are the UK contingent, any sign of shots yet?
No invites at the moment for me.
No.
I'm the oldest over here, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be like one of the last people, 38, 39, so I'm like, not even next round, on the round after that, I think.
Right.
So, yeah. Although, I have ordered some test-at-home
kits.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Lucky you.
They're coming tomorrow or the next day, which is good. So, I need to sort of test myself before I go and see my parents, because they're still shielding. Although they're not, like, technically, you shouldn't really, nobody is shielding anymore, but yeah, they are vulnerable. So.
What is this shielding? What does that mean?
Basically, stay away from everybody. Like they're literally not even going to the shops.
At risk people, yeah. Isn't it? I've been told to basically lock
shield. Shield in place.
Yeah.
Sounds like it means business, doesn't it?
It really does. Shield. Shields up.
Activate shields. Activate COVID shields.
Okay, I've closed the curtains.
I'm going to be... I've got to pop around there next week to help them out with some bits. So I want to make sure that I'm COVID-free before I do it.
Well, maybe.
Maybe
COVID free. You know, it's not guaranteed that
it's right. Not guaranteed. No, but it's better than, I don't know. So yeah.
So would you test and then still take as much precaution as possible? Obviously,
yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I did get a positive result, then I, you know,
you would. You wouldn't sort of get the negative result or the negative result and go around, cough. Dad, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
No. But yeah.
You literally can't stand, son. No. The test was fine. So we are, so it is my anniversary. I have promised my wife that I'll be finished up in a couple of hours or, well, where are we now?
You've got a promise from your wife, did you say?
Oh. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Let's not start talking sordid stuff like that.
You get less for murder.
Depends if you get off at 12 o'clock or not.
Yeah, so let's crack on. We've got tweets here. Friend of the show, Stuart. Oh, actually, you know what? Let's just start with normal podcast chat. Steve. I did give a shout out to the bullshot friends of us bullshots. The Four Shot podcast last week. Those guys seem to be doing sterling service, and they're good friends of yours. So,
hey, well, and yours too, you know.
Yes, of course, yes.
Not least by association, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Any other podcast? Are you listening to those guys or any other podcasts you're listening to at the moment?
You know, I'm not listening to anything at all. I'm really not listening to anything at all. Why? Because I haven't been in my car for a year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I kind of want a situation, a life scenario where I do get in my car and drive for an hour and a half to work and back. But then, I mean, do I? No. No.
Is that something you really miss doing, an hour and a half in the car?
Every now and then. It was 3 hours commuting a day that I used to do. Madness. Man. And then we moved closer to literally 25 minutes away from work, and then the lockdown happened. So, fuck me.
Really? Yeah. So now you're literally 25 seconds from work.
Yes, I am. Yeah, and you know, no podcasts are that short.
No.
Yeah, I did. I did think the other day is like I might as well just like move to the Bahamas or, you know,
yeah,
an island somewhere. Somewhere
as long as it has internet
access. I might as well just. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whether they'd be able to deliver the quality of food that you're used to, Dave. They'd be coming out with fruits of the sea and pineapples and mangoes and guavas. Just be, I don't know.
Nah, I don't want none of that shit.
I need my tin burger.
Tin grain.
Important.
You have to take a suitcase full when you go.
Anything to declare? Yes, I'm a monster.
So we do have some tweets. Friend of the show, Stuart Cullen, still giving it the Stadia large, has said, with Google having announced that it will be releasing 10, yes, 10 games for Stadia as part of Stadia Makers program, which is a partnership with Unity to support indies, does this give weight to the platform moving to a more indie focus, i.e. Vita 2.0, and could it save them? Could it?
Did it save the Vita?
Yeah, I'll say that. It's not the best example, probably, is it, the Vita? As much as they're loved by the people who have them, I don't know if it was particularly successful. Generally.
Did we, Steve, when you were on the show last time, did we cover Stadia then? Probably. Did we have a Stadia question? I can't.
Yes, there was a Stadia question.
Have we not ever had one? I think we've had one every week.
Just about. Yeah.
I can't remember. I think it was, is it a viable whatever? And I think
that's pretty much the question every week.
Every week, right.
It's the running gag.
Until the question stops.
I don't know when it's supposed to stop. I haven't heard anything about this. I mean, again, I don't know.
This doesn't say they're exclusive games, so I don't know.
Thing is, Steam, like, I don't think you can actually count the amount of indie games on Steam that get released like in a week nowadays. Like, you definitely can't play them, like all the games that come out on Steam. So, no, just like 10 Vita, 10, well, not 10 Vita games, but 10 indie games. It's not a lot compared to...
Well, maybe they might be good ones, though. You never know.
I'm not sure. It's not really a... It's the answer to a question nobody's asking, though, isn't it, really? I mean, the biggest problem with Stadia is that nobody wants it, right? I mean, isn't that the biggest problem?
I think
barely anyone has it, and nobody wants it. So I don't see how. I mean, a few weeks ago or maybe months now, they got rid of all of their, like, they shuttered all of their in-house development, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So this is their way of staying in that space while firing everybody. Still doesn't answer the core problem, which is nobody wants it and barely anyone has it.
Yeah.
I don't, they're not going to woo anyone by having a bunch of limbos on there, are they?
No. No. No, and we've covered it before. I don't know what the, you know, where's the market? Who is their possible market? Are they going to just end up bundling a controller in with every television, like every LG television or something?
It was LG, wasn't it, that said that was supposed to be getting Stadia for this year's TVs. So maybe it will take off.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Good luck to him. Good luck.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, what we should do is we should discuss it again next week. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think much will have changed by then, let's be honest.
Well, you never know.
Oh, I'm interested. The only thing I'm intrigued to see is which angle he takes every week. That's about as interesting as Stadia gets.
I'd be interested to see Stadia diversifying into something different, like keeping the brand. Like, okay, it didn't work for that. We could just diversify into something like, I don't know, Stadia Keurig machines or something. Something different.
I didn't even know what that is.
Yeah, the pod, Keurig? Coffee pod machines.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. You're glad that you don't have Keurig over
there.
We
have Tassimo's and Nespresso's.
Oh, yeah, we have those too.
Maybe it could just be a pachinko like simulator.
That'd be what you could imagine it, couldn't you? Some YouTuber or whatever just hitting the Japanese pachinko, and just in he goes to 10 of them before he finds in the corner just one machine, Stadia themed. Next to the Metal Gear Solid pachinko machine. Thank you, Stuart. Welcome as always. Matt, oh my gosh. Oh, I nearly forgot. Oh no, I didn't. I put a note in there. It's after this. Okay. He says, well, first of all, let's cover Matt.
Well, so this has come up in this question, if you read the question. So.
Okay. So what should I do? Do I start with
it?
Okay. Well, I'll remember to put it in at the start. So if you're listening to the podcast, you already heard the Dalek sample that Matt, friend of the show, Matt had made. So Matt lives or is in the same town as the guy who does the voices for the Daleks.
Is he an impersonator, isn't he, or something? Was he? It's not the actual guy, is it?
I took it to be. It's one of the voice actors. Yeah. So Matt contacted him and said, asked him to do some sound bites. So very, very. We're very grateful to Matt for getting him to do that. And so if you're listening, you heard it at the start. We have our sound bite, which is fantastic. So thank you very much for that, Matt. Now, I will say this, because I was trying to record it. So it was on, I think it was on Twitter, yeah. Right? And I was trying to record it through Audacity so I could get it recorded. Oh. Let me tell you that if you listen to a Dalek just for 10 seconds on loop for 3 to 4 minutes, it will drive you insane. I there is a reason that is the voice of the Daleks. It is actually terrifying. And I really felt the early stages of madness onset. So well done that. He also sent us a question, which is, what will be exterminated first? Will it be Stuart Cullen or Stadia? And do you know where I can get a malfunctioning Dalek reprogrammed, as you guys are obviously still alive? Well, obviously Stadia is going to be exterminated first.
Clearly.
For Stuart.
Stu's a young man, after all, isn't he?
Yeah, he's all right. He'll do fine. So
he's going to hopefully outlive Stadia by a long, long time.
Yeah. So, Stadia for sure. Matt, thank you very much for getting that done for us. I really appreciate it. You are a true friend of the show.
Haven't heard it yet, but I will shortly.
You what? You haven't heard it yet?
No. It's on Twitter, isn't it? I don't check Twitter.
I put a link to it, didn't I, somewhere on the Discord, so, you know, I'm sure I did. Anyway.
Oh.
I will check that out. Not on here, because then you'll get a random Dalek sound during the recording.
It'll be in your podcast feed later on tonight.
I will check out.
We have an email from Christian Barkley. He says, "Evening, chaps. Hope you are well. So this week I power washed the patio and conservatory, then painted the fences. Will this qualify me for a bloke club? Sadly, no power tools, but I nearly got the chainsaw out to cut logs ready for next winter.
Oof. I'd say a power washer is a power tool. Has power in the name.
Definitely have to plug it in for it to work.
Yeah, I
just unless you've got a manual pump job or something.
Painting fences, I think, yeah, that's all right. You're getting yourself in there, getting at it. Power washing.
Nah, you gotta plug that in. No, it needs an engine that runs on gasoline. I mean, if you're looking for...
Did your drill run on gasoline?
This what?
A drill run on gasoline?
No, I
just have a 1 liter engine attached to it.
You don't have a 2-cylinder drill?
Now, I understand what Steve's saying. The real men use the gas power washers. You know what? I think I'm going to agree. I don't know. See, I see so many power washers left by this roadside, you know, that fly by night. People have just gone, I'll get a power washer and I'll power wash the garden furniture.
Well, they've broken it, have they?
They probably like some cheapy crappy. You know what, Christian? I'm sorry, mate. No. I'm not allowing Bloke Club for power washers.
He could offset it by talking about sports while he was doing it. Or maybe stopping to, you know, drink a few pints.
A check shirt on while he was doing it or something.
Yeah, exactly. You got to offset that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if you were power washing your combine harvester, that's something.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, power washing's there's too much. It's not a chore enough, is it? Like, I think too many of us go, oh, I quite fancy power washing.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it?
It's fun. The first flagstone is fun. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you know, it's actually a thing.
There are whole YouTube channels just dedicated to people power washing stuff.
I don't even want to know how you know this.
There's a subreddit. I actually subscribed to it for a while, which was Power Washing Porn.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's stretching it.
That is like 2 o'clock in the morning, like staring at your phone, going, "Why am I still awake?"
You actually looked at all the porn on the internet. Yeah, you start looking at power wash porn. Yeah.
I think the fact that you've done both, that you're power washing and you're painting fences, I think you certainly can come in with a preliminary membership. I think you're already probably in for a membership anyway. But yeah, I think you're in for Bloke Club, I guess.
It's probably more in than I am, to be honest.
I'd like to see some power tool action. I mean, the fact that you say you nearly got a chainsaw out to cut logs. I mean, that's. I mean, have you got a chainsaw? If you have a chainsaw, you're in Bloke Club before you even started, right?
Definitely. Well, I haven't got a chainsaw.
Is it a chainsaw? That's the thing. We don't know, do we?
I've got leaf blowers.
If it's an electric chainsaw, then no, definitely not.
I'm gonna put leaf blowers in with power washers, though. I mean, they're more sort of like.
Well, it depends, though, because some dudes are walking around with those things like it's Ghostbusters. They got the big backpacks on, and they're literally blowing trees over with these things, and they do run on gasoline. Now, that's manly.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we had our gardeners came around this week, and...
Are you going to go out there and start going, ooh? Yeah.
Well, at least two of them were walking around with the proper, like...
Right.
The proper... You know, orange colored ones, gas powered or whatever, that just looked the business. Right?
Could be a jetpack, could be a leaf blower.
But one of the other ones had like this almost like a, it was on wheels. He was wheeling it around and it had so much power. It was like an industrial thing. It was unreal. Yeah. I was just like, what is that thing? He could have blown like children down the road with it.
That's probably what he was doing when you were
looking.
The guys that come and do our like weed killing. Like the you know, right by the edge of your path and around the roads and that. He comes around on a quad bike. He's like, that's pretty cool.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, he zooms around on his quad bike and just like sprays a bit of willow on the leaves, just like moves to the next one.
That's like completely unnecessary, but he just
isn't it? It's a little bit.
It's brilliant.
He goes on to say, as I'm a bit obsessed with Taskmaster and there are a couple of actors from the show man down on it. What? Gave me an itch to rewatch. Sorry, I don't understand what you're saying there. Is anybody?
I guess Man Down is a show. I'm not sure where it's myself, but Taskmaster I do know of, because that's very good.
Taskmaster is my secret name for you, Phrase.
Is it?
Yeah.
at least it's not Man Down. As I'm a bit obsessed with, as I'm a bit obsessed with Taskmaster, and there are a couple of actors from the show Man Down on it. It gave me an itch to rewatch. It's fantastic and available on Netflix, so get on it. Plus, it has the late great Rick Mayall on it, and he's hilarious. With the sad passing of Paul Ritter, I highly recommend Friday Night Dinner. So Taskmaster, that's a program. Has anybody seen
Taskmaster's it? Taskmaster's been around, I think it's on its 10th series or something.
Yeah.
Oh. So it's like...
it has like well-known... I don't talk about it once. Well-known English, well, and some other comedians, basically. And they're set tasks against each other and score points.
Who's the giant man who's
so
in
that's Greg
in
Davis.
Yeah, Greg so Davis. He's the Taskmaster.
Yeah. And the other guy that they're talking about, I think, is
Alex.
Called Alex is the other Taskmaster.
Alex is his sort of his mate.
But the latest Taskmaster has Mike Wozniak, who's also a comedian, who's on Man Down, another TV series. It's good.
Man Down?
Man Down and Taskmaster. I started watching Taskmaster again on this series because I actually like the people on it. So some of them are a bit crap, but yeah. I think they're all on. There's highlights on YouTube if you fancy looking it up. It's good.
He says
might be region locked. You never know.
Yeah, the problem. Steve and I are probably out of the loop on a lot of these things.
Oh no!
If only we had a sponsor for a VPN service, we could.
He also says, with the sad passing of Paul Ritter, I highly recommend Friday Night Dinner. I have anyone else? Friday Night Dinner?
I have not watched it, but I know a lot of people really rate that.
Friday Night Dinner is fantastic. It's got the same guy. It's got two of the guys from... what's that?
In Between Us,
yeah. It's got two of the guys from there on it. And Paul Ritter's the dad, and he's fucking hilarious.
Fraser, I don't know what these guys are talking about at all.
No,
Paul Ritter is also, he was in Chernobyl though, wasn't he?
Yeah, like I had no idea.
He played one of the guys in Chernobyl.
Oh, I know who Paul Ritter is. Yeah, he's
the fireman that melted into the bed.
No, he was the nasty boss man on shift.
Oh,
boss.
Yeah, he seemed like a geezer.
Yeah,
I think he's sampled in an orb track that I've got. I think. Am I thinking of the right guy? I'm not sure.
God, it is! Oh my God, I had no idea. I'm just looking at pictures of Chernobyl and Paul Ritter in it, and not knowing it was him, but seeing the picture now. Jeez. he's not very comedic in Chernobyl, but...
No, definitely not. I don't think anyone is, to be fair.
No idea. Obviously, great range. Had great range, I'd say.
Christian goes on, he says, the last few weeks Neil's boudoir action keeps rearing its head. So when your other half says I don't feel like any mattress mambo, there is zero chance of getting any. But here's the question: when you don't feel like getting your wick wet and the wife asks for some, out of 100 times, how many times do you say no?
What
when your wife asks if you want some jiggy jiggy?
So when your other half says that she doesn't feel like any mattress mambo, there's zero chance of getting any. Okay, right, yeah, okay.
What?
Right,
okay.
Lest you create, you know, unless you commit criminal acts.
I was going to say. Unless you want to go down a Me Too road.
Yeah, I don't know. Some countries, like, still it's not criminal, but I mean, generally it's frowned upon.
I wouldn't condone it on this show.
Don't think we're condoning that at all.
Not on the show, anyway.
No, not, right.
No, actually, I'm going to say I don't condone it on or off the show.
All right.
But here's the question. When you don't feel like getting your wick wet and the wife asks for some, out of 100 times, how many times would you say no?
Oh, I don't.
Really? I think you've got to strike while I'm on top, haven't you, there?
I don't think I've ever not.
I was going to say that it implies there's ever been a no. When that offer's on the table.
What is this no you speak of?
I know.
What is this wife asking for some that you speak of?
That's the main point there.
Yeah.
Less for murder.
He also says, hope you all have a brilliant weekend. Thank you, Christian.
Yeah, thank you.
Much appreciated. I'm just going to cut that one short. On Discord, we have Lord says, royal family, question mark, fans or not so much? Okay, well, I'm going to jump right in and say it is my wedding anniversary today. As some of you may or may not know, I celebrated my wedding day in the same place as Charles and Camilla got married on the same day. I have a massive royal connection through that. So fans, yes, slightly. Not massively.
Practically related, not massively.
But I also grew up in Windsor, which is a royal stronghold.
Well, you are basically royal then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Bow before me. Am I a fan?
I'll tell you what. No one's bigger fans of the royals than Americans.
No.
I get asked, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, Camilla's blah and Andrew's this and William's that. What do you think about that? I'm like, I don't care. Plus, I don't have a clue. Like, who are they? They're following it like it's a soap opera.
Yeah, it's the same. Honestly, Steve, it's the same in here in Canada. People are always coming up to me. They're going, well, what did you think of Harry and Meghan on Oprah? Okay, they were on Oprah? Were you, what?
Yeah. How could you? You must have known they were on Oprah, even if you didn't watch it. I knew, but I didn't watch it.
We were trying to watch it, but the TV network clamped it down, so there's no way anyone could watch it unless you subscribe directly to, I think it was... it wasn't ABC. Yeah, I think it was ABC.
Oprah TV.
Nah, it wasn't even that, because we have that.
She wasn't even allowed it on her own TV channel.
She's practically got her, like, 50% of the channel's lineup in Apple TV at this point.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, I like the royals, frankly. I think they serve a purpose. I'm just not sure what their purpose is.
Oh, it's tourism. Tourism is the purpose.
To a point, and I think it's one of the few things that stands between Britain and the brink. I actually do.
I'm sure we can't afford to pay for them anymore. That's the only thing.
It's the British version of, look, we're still relevant. Look, we have these really important people.
Who aren't really that important.
Yeah.
No one needs to say that out loud. That's the trouble.
That's the problem with most celebrities nowadays.
Yeah, Lord, hoiked off now.
You could say that about the Kardashians. What's the point of them?
No, you can't say that about the Kardashians.
They're not royal family, though, are they?
No, and they don't keep America afloat in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I've got to admit, and I will say, and I've said this before, so if you go back to
they
my...
don't pay any taxes,
Well, if you go back, I mean, one of the things that... When we got wrapped up in the royals with our wedding... The circus that came to town and followed that through was insane. And I mean, we were just a speck on that event. And the amount of activity and revenue generation that we could see going on around was just utterly insane. Mm-hmm. Does that translate into revenue generation for the country? I think so. I think I follow what Steve says. I think it keeps the UK extremely relevant, because right now all the UK, as far as I can see, the UK is only surviving on money laundering and reputation.
That's exactly it. But Britain, well, is only going to be one operation with a crown on it.
So
yeah,
but am I a fan?
I'm not a fan of certain ones.
Yeah,
that might be the one coming up. You never know.
real soon now.
I did listen to the Queen when she made a speech over when the pandemic first hit, and I don't normally tune into her at Christmas, but I do sort of catch up with what she said about, and I think they're being a voice for the people rather than, you know, the Prime Minister. They actually try and be sort of inspirational to us.
They're far more unifying than the cabinet.
Politicians.
I hate politicians. Fans, but not so much.
Right. So, so they are. I think the Queen is good in that, and you know, and to be honest, Prince Philip had a good ear then. What was he? 99? 100?
I think he died years ago. No one told him.
He's not looked well for a long time.
He has looked like what's the word? Something that came out of a taxidermy office. So he's looked like some kind of ghastly visage for at least a year.
I still don't 100% understand why he wasn't king.
He wasn't related to the previous monarch.
It's the bloodline. The Windsor bloodline.
Isn't that incestual if he was? Like this is like he was a prince of Greece.
Yes. The queen was the daughter of the previous monarch, so she was the queen. And then he's the royal consort. Yeah. Prince Philip.
Right. Oh, so he was a bit on the side.
He can't be king. Okay. Only the bloodline can be the king or queen.
Right. So if who is it next? Prince Charles
next.
Camilla won't be queen.
She's allowed to be queen.
Because the king is always above the queen, right? I guess that's what it would
be. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay.
I would imagine that would make sense to me.
Like it always goes to the male first, doesn't it? If there's the eldest son they'll be the next king unless they, for whatever reason, decide to choose not to be or aren't around anymore.
So Philip can be king because he couldn't be above the queen because the queen was next in line,
because Philip was not royal until he married the queen.
No, he was. He was Prince of Greece. He was royalty for Greece.
Wasn't he of the Manhattans?
I was listening to a little bit of him about him today. He travelled around quite a lot when he was a small child. Anyway,
I tell you what was weird. I put the radio on, and Radio 1 was just playing like orchestral music. Like, all day.
Well, it's better than normal, then.
Yeah.
That's nice, though. That's nice.
Out of respect, they were putting on artists talking
about... he wasn't into, Taylor Swift? Not into Taylor Swift.
What he was into is irrelevant. it's the
let's
firm.
Let's not go,
it's
yeah,
not
let's
the
not
people,
go
it's
there.
The royal firm, right?
Yeah, I drove to take... I took the dog out this afternoon, and all the flags on all the... government buildings were all flying at half mast this afternoon. Straight away, they had them down.
Right. So,
yeah.
Kind of stuff is important, though. Tradition's important. In America, there is nothing like that. So the Queen's speech on Christmas Day. It's tradition. It means something because people give it meaning, right?
Yep. Do you not have the president do something on Christmas Day generally, or tradition?
He might come and do something, but no. I mean, it doesn't have the same. There's not reverence to it. You know, there's a reverence to the royal family doing things, and this whole, anytime the changing of the guard doesn't play the same damn tunes they always play, then there's a reason for it, and everyone's like, oh, it's very solemn, and there's a graphic.
I think people outside of the UK probably know more about it. That's
the thing. That's why they need to be there, because from the outside looking in, and I can see that now, because I've had it from both sides. It's like, I used to hate the Queen's speech. He used to come on at 3 o'clock right in the middle of when I was supposed to watch Empire Strikes Back at Christmas. And all that stuff. And my dad would go, Queen's speech. Yeah. And everyone would go in there and we'd all stand with attention because my dad was in the military. And, they'd play the national anthem and stuff. And I used to hate that as a kid. But, from the outside looking in, we don't have anything like that in the States. There's no figureheads like that that people still have affection for and a reverence for. It's just America's very transient in that way. But certain things, they cross... language boundaries and cultures, and that's why Britain's still interpreted or at least considered as some kind of powerhouse that's hiding its strength, whereas the reality is really is not that at all. But the fact that the royal family is there, it's the most recognizable monarchy in the world, still is, everyone knows who the Queen of England is anyway. That's my piece.
Yep. Okay. So Chinny follows on with a question. Prince Andrew, can he sweat?
I'm pretty sure he confirmed he couldn't.
I'm pretty sure he can sweat after all that.
Oh, I missed this. Was this something where he said he didn't sweat or something?
It was. He was. The interviewer. I can't remember who did it.
It was
all about what's his name, Epstein, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. And how he possibly couldn't have.
He couldn't have been where they thought he was because he was in a Pizza Express in
wherever.
Yeah, okay. and also
it was really, really odd.
There was somebody that made an allegation that said like they remembered him sweating over them, and he's like, no, I don't sweat.
I couldn't sweat. He had a medical condition where he couldn't sweat. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to waste any time on that piece of dirt.
Okay. I mean, so he's going down then soon, right?
Let's hope so.
Okay.
If he's guilty.
He's being pushed in a corner and hidden away.
Yeah, we don't hear much from him anymore.
No.
Like the disabled ones.
No.
Sorry. You brought me back. I didn't ask. You brought me back.
You want to see the ones that didn't make the limelight? That's fine. They're all working at McDonald's in Windsor.
And they're happy. You know, they're happy.
Joystick J says you can bring. There are loads of those stories, in Windsor. There were people like, oh yeah, he's
a royal.
He's a royal, yeah. Old so and so used
in line for the
own so and so used to sneak out the back door of the castle and got knocked up, right? You know, there's all that fucking stories, right? Joystick J says you can bring one celebrity back from the dead for 10 more years of their particular career. Who is it going to be?
Oh, good one.
It is a good one, isn't it? I can't choose.
Kurt Cobain for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Loved his music. Although, you know, Foo Fighters wouldn't exist.
Yeah. True.
So.
Maybe they would 10 years later.
Yeah, just a bit later.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd have been even better.
Maybe. I don't know. He died before he was.
Yes, indeed. Agreed. I went along similar lines with. I was like. John Lennon.
Yeah. Good one, actually.
Freddie Mercury, another one. I was a bit like, yeah.
I'm going to change mine.
I'd go Freddie before I'd go John Lennon. I think John Lennon was a piece of work, wasn't he? Wasn't he a wife-beating piece of work?
If by piece of work you mean piece of shit, then yes.
Yeah.
I think he'd peaked by the time...
We'll never know, will we?
Well, yeah, if you listen to the Beatles and his subsequent music afterwards.
They were playing Imagine on Radio X today. I was like, yeah, that was after the news.
That was the one good song that he had after the Beatles, yeah.
I think I'd go with someone like an Alec Guinness or someone like that. I just miss those old grandfathers.
He was quite old, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
You gave him 10 more years. Would he have
probably got
been able
two
to act?
Movies?
Well, he didn't take his own life, did he? I mean, he just went and, you know, he just died. So I'm saying, hey, you can have another 10, right? Anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, that's really the crux of the conversation, isn't it? Anyone that died of old age, would you want them sticking around for another 10 years?
Like Sean Connery, he's not done a lot, has he, for the last 10 years? He's not going to get much in the next 10 years, are you?
That's true enough. Yeah, I mean, for another 10 years, not doing anything.
No, okay, I see how we're breaking this down then.
I've been watching Old Bottom.
Yeah, I was Rick Mayall's one of mine as well.
Yeah, so, you know, Rick Mayall. There's a load on YouTube of him on stage and doing his Bottom Live tour, and they're fucking hilarious. Rick Mayall was such a genius on stage. Mm.
I'll give you one then from Canada. John Candy. Give me John Candy back then.
Yeah.
Oh, the actor.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
Or John Belushi.
Oh.
Can't pitch him.
We could be here a while carrying on like this.
Mine was going to be Hendrix.
Oh, yeah.
Good show. He really did go young, eh?
Yeah.
27, yeah. And he was only just blowing up.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a fair show.
Although Freddie Mercury is real strong, I might ditch Hendrix for Freddie Mercury.
You'd have to go. I think you'd have to go like sort of a few years back before he'd actually died, because obviously, like the last couple of years, he was, you know, dying.
Freddie. He was still writing great music.
The detail. Well, could you have?
Are you saying you'd want him for 10 more years of like very slowly.
When he was
Before
we got sick, 10 years from before we got sick.
He didn't deserve that.
You could say you might even say it would be 10 more years of live AIDS.
Jesus Christ.
Right, can we stop recording now?
Yeah, show's cancelled. Fraser pushed it too far.
Did I help? I'm sorry. Again, you asked me back.
Okay, let's move on to what we're doing for the week. Thank you, Joystick J. Great question.
That was a good question.
It was good. I'm just going to have a quick rant about phone companies. I
saw this and I was intrigued.
I had to get a new phone last week because I left my company, so I had no company phone. So I had to sign up for I had to get my own phone like a pauper. I had to go cap in hand and research and get my own phone bill. Anyway, I finally went with this company and I started to set my phone bill up online. If you set your contract up online, we'll waive the $45 activation fee. I'm like, okay, great.
What?
I tried to process it through, right? And it wouldn't activate. And so I went onto the chat help, and this woman was on the chat thing, and she goes, "I can set that up for you." And I said, "Well, what about the 45?" She goes, "That's all right. We'll apply a credit to your second bill."
No, they never do that.
You could see it coming, couldn't you? And I was like, "I'm going to watch this." My bill turned up yesterday or whatever. It's like, and I've no credit on it. I'm like, "Fucking scumbags!" Right? What? I mean, they were okay. Like, you know, I went at them today, but I still had to waste like half an hour of my time, you know, just, you know, Jesus Christ, do what you say you're going to do. How many times do I got to say that, right? Anyway, that was my rant. That was about it. I just knew it. You know when it's not going to happen, don't you? You just, it's not going to happen.
Did you screenshot the chat or like do any of that?
Yeah, I had, you can get a transcript of all the chat emailed to you and all that sort of stuff. And they had records of it too. I mean, it was pretty easy going to get it sorted out. It just took time.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know what? Come on. Do what you say you're going to do.
Did you get sorted, though?
Sorted, yeah.
Cool. Good.
I have a story about how FedEx almost stole my Xbox Series X.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
I mean, there's not much to it, but I ordered one. I managed to get one, and I got one through GameStop, one of their bundles. And it took them about 4 days in their warehouse to put it in a box and send it and give it to FedEx, right?
Of course it did, because I mean, why would you want to get your shit out of your warehouse quickly? I mean...
Yeah, right, of course. So, but, you know, I called them, and they were like, well, it's because it's a high-in-demand item. Well, yeah, but...
Oh, no shit. Like, yeah, I didn't know that before.
That was... Exactly. Like it's not like it caught you guys by surprise, you know. Anyway,
hey, people want these.
Whoa, didn't see that coming. So anyway, this was on a Friday. I managed to snag the order on a Tuesday, so they finally gave it to FedEx on Friday, and I got the GameStop thing saying, "Hey, we've given it to FedEx. You should get it on the following Wednesday because we didn't." Like, who cares? We gave it the lowest payment option possible. We're sending it to you as slowly and as cheaply as possible.
It's going via India.
Yes. Because you got free shipping because you're a GameStop rewards member. So that's why. And that, you know, my penance. But then I get a message from FedEx and they say, I'm going to get it on Monday. Right. And I'm like, I choose to believe FedEx because it's on Monday. So the weekend happens and then Monday happens and I say, oh, I've been following it all weekend, following it from Tennessee all the way over to Pennsylvania, goes into Maryland, then goes into Virginia. Whoa. And it's out for delivery right now on Monday. I'm like, oh, yes, here it comes, right? And I keep refreshing my phone. My little home office here looks right over the street where the FedEx guy flies past. Anyway, FedEx guy rolls right up to our house and then rolls right on by. And I'm like, well, maybe there's two FedEx deliveries here and I just haven't paid attention before. No, that was it. He's gone, right? And then I look later and it says, and this is only maybe an hour later, it says, couldn't deliver due to severe weather. And the thing is, on that particular day, it was like 78 degrees, glorious sunny, hadn't rained for days.
That's extreme.
You couldn't, I mean, it was extremely good weather. It was extremely optimum for delivering parcels weather. So anyway, told the missus and her being her was like, I'm going to call them and give them a piece of my mind. So she does that. They open a case, right? Which they wouldn't normally do. They go, oh yeah, sorry. He didn't have time. It's back on the truck for tomorrow, whatever. They actually opened an incident with FedEx, which they don't normally do, which is like, that's very interesting. Anyway, the very next day, okay, because then my parcel says, okay, so on the update screen says, okay, couldn't, you know, deliver due to inclement weather, and we will deliver it again tomorrow, right? That's what the thing said. My wife calls and complains, and this is all on the Monday now. It arrives actually Tuesday. I get an update first saying we're gonna deliver it on Wednesday, skipping Tuesday altogether. And then, but Tuesday arrives and the FedEx van slides up, and a plain cardboard box with no labels whatsoever shows up on my doorstep. And I bring it inside. Now, literally, it's just a box with tape and no labels. Okay. I bring it in the house. I open it up. Sure as shit, my Xbox Series X is in there, plus my two games I was going to get and my extra controller, in a plain cardboard box with no label.
So what's your...
My assessment.
What's your deduction, Sherlock?
My deduction tells me that clearly that shit was shipped to me in a box with a label with my address, because it wouldn't have got here any other way. And at some point, it was removed from that box. Things coming from GameStop warehouse in Tennessee that have a reasonable size and shape that would suggest an Xbox in it. I could see how someone might just open that up and slide it out. So that's what I think happened. I think they took it out. I think the case that got opened, the incident that got opened, alerted some supervisor in that area. And I think it was discovered. And then it was, holy shit, put it back in a box, get it to them tomorrow. And that's what I have.
Jesus.
How close? Isn't that fucking crazy?
What is it with these scumbags out there?
I mean, I wouldn't care, but I got this Xbox after, you know, I did the whole watching Twitter things for stock things, and I played that game for a long time. Managed to snag one on that day. It's the luckiest day ever, you know? And then some shithead's going to just take it out of a box in a warehouse and fucking go home with it?
Yeah, why bother doing that when you can just look at a box and go, yeah, that's probably an Xbox. And
I mean, that's the thing, though, isn't it?
Next time there's a console launch, you want to be getting yourself a job in a warehouse.
You beat me to it, Neil. Yeah. Next PS6, I'm going to get a job at FedEx.
Yeah. And I don't want to waste too much more of your time, because, well, we got a bit of time. But one thing I did want to talk about, because I was going to talk about it on my show if I ever did one, right? But I haven't, so I'll talk about it here. I'm 45, right? I was 44 when we spoke last time. I'm 45 now.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. I wasn't saying it for that, but still, thanks. I believe, and I don't know, Fraser, you might be able to help me. I believe I've entered the midlife crisis.
It's what possible.
There you go. So,
bear in mind, you already spent $1,000 on a VR and all that shit.
Well, that was ages ago. And, you know, I bought an Xbox and PlayStation 5 and all the other stuff. So the thing is, all of a sudden, I was compelled. Like, and this compulsion came from inside. It came from my soul, possibly, or my abdomen. I don't know where it came from. But it came unbidden right around the time I turned 45. And it was like, fuck, I remember I was so bad at painting Warhammer miniatures when I was 14 years old. And then also, unbidden and unrelated in any way, fuck, I remember trying desperately to make classic Doom maps with Doom editors when I was 16 and failing miserably. And all of this has just happened like over one weekend, and before you know it, I'm downloading all the Doom editors again, and I'm going on Doomgate and like these websites that basically cropped up in 95 and just for tips, quote. And I went out and bought a shit ton of Space Marines for Warhammer, a shit ton of paints. And that's, I believe this is what a midlife crisis looks like. I'm trying to do better the things that I fucked up and failed at when I was 14 and 16 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm obsessed with this shit right now.
I think it's good. Obsessive. I know. You know what? I don't think that's a midlife crisis. I think it's just good to have hobbies. You know, it's good to do stuff.
This is coming from a man who put a subwoofer in his car, age 49.
I'd had the subwoofer in my car for years.
Does your bumper vibrate when you like annoyingly?
I don't know, Steve. I turned 50 last week, right?
Good God.
Yeah, so I hit that milestone. Have I had a midlife crisis? Possibly. I jacked my job in a month ago and said, fuck you.
You know what? Actually, I bet that's exactly what that was.
You know, some people have said, that could be a midlife crisis. You're not recognizing. But, you know, I don't know.
I think it might be.
Do you have a motorbike and a leather jacket, have you?
I had a motorbike. I haven't replaced it. I don't know. Am I having like the thing is, you can say, well, Fraser, you put a subwoofer in your car. That's fine. I play Valorant for like 4 hours every day, so I don't know.
Which is worse? Yeah.
Is that a midlife crisis? I don't think so. I'm not.
That's
sure.
That's just a hiding to nothing. That is.
It's all hiding to nothing, isn't it? No, I don't know. I like good sound. I refuse to subscribe to my subwoofer as a that's just improvement. That's improvement on something I own.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, when you're 50, you buy a new car with a good system in it.
He's never buying a new car.
I've never bought a new car.
I must admit, I'm getting off that bandwagon pretty quickly.
What, the new car bandwagon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that since they're all going electric, they're a bit boring now?
Well, they are boring now since they're doing that, yes. But no, it's not because of that. It's just because I live close to work, so I'm not accruing ridiculous amounts of miles all the time. I used to buy new all the time just because I knew I'd wear a car's ass out after about, 4 years. But now I'm not going to do that. So plus, you lose 10 grand as soon as you drive it off the damn place anyway.
You can get into Banganomics now.
Banganomics! What is that?
That's when you buy an old banger.
Oh, do it up.
It saves you a small fortune.
And then you put a sub in it.
Put a sub in it. Yeah, there you go. Double the value.
Then you ration it up, spending, put some ground effects on it.
Yeah, instead of spending 10 grand on a deposit for a car, you spend 10 grand on repairs.
And it works out better that way. The math is better. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or not. It feels like it because I feel like I'm trying to recapture my youth. That's why.
This isn't a new fascination. It's an old
one that's come back.
I found that I've gone down the rabbit hole of listening to all the stuff I liked when I was younger.
I've been doing that too, old music.
I've been doing that since I was younger, I reckon.
Maybe that's not a thing. Maybe that's just, I think when you hit 24, 25, 26, you kind of get locked into a certain mindset and a taste.
I didn't at all. You see, by 24, 25, I'd abandoned indie and gone to techno. And then it was pretty much techno for the next 15 years. And it still is
techno,
in a way.
Techno.
It's all sorts of techno, deep house, electronic music. But now I'm going back. I'm really, really, like I just bought Supertramp, a Supertramp album from 1978.
Fucking hell. Really?
Yeah,
so you were that was while you were alive, is it? Like I've started listening to stuff before I was alive.
Yeah, I was alive then.
My parents listened to Supertramp tapes when I was a very small child.
Yeah.
Got on the what's his name? Fuck, I was going to say Wurzel.
His name Wurzel Gummidge.
Who was the guy with the flute?
James Last.
No,
not James.
James Galway.
No.
It was cool.
I can't get it either. I know exactly who you mean now.
I was kind of thinking of Simon and Garfunkel, but it's not there.
It's got a weird name. It's not Wurzel Gummidge, obviously. No. You know Wurzel Gummidge is.
Oh, fucking hell. Right. I hated Wurzel Gummidge as a kid.
Yeah, Neil or Dave, what have we got? Dave, what have you got on your
Sorry.
Go on.
Jethro Tull.
Jethro Tull. That wasn't who I was thinking of, but fair enough.
Dave.
General Wickshire. I've had a bike recall. My bike's been told that it needs to come in and have about 8 hours of work done on it.
Oof. Which part is dangerous?
So there's a few bolts that hold in. There's one to the engine and there's one to the suspension that shouldn't be metal. It should be plastic ones. And then there's also a serious risk of one of the seals failing on the brake calipers that they're replacing. Mm. So I was like, yeah, I can bring it in. What, wait around? Like, no, it'll be here all day. It might even take the next day. So I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Fuck it now. All right,
so, yeah, but they're doing it on the, you know, through the warrant. It's not even warranty, it's a recall. So,
yeah.
Do you get a loaner?
So, yeah, they're going to give me a loaner. I don't know what it is. I did ask for...
Is it like a 50cc?
You know what it is. You know what's going to... You can see it now. Yes, yes. Here comes the guy who always buys the nice bike we give him as a loaner. They're just going to give you the nicest bike they have, and Dave will change it next week. He'll come up with an excuse to change it.
I did ask if there's a new R1250 RT, a very nice touring bike with the engine of the GS, just been released. I was like, have you got that on loan? I said, we'll see. It's a beautiful bike.
They'll look at your history and then they'll lend it to you.
You give him one and they go, they might buy one of these.
So, but yeah, no, like I have noticed, like when I first started using the garage, they did give me the old crappy ones, and then like subsequently every single loaner bike has been slightly better. So hopefully I'm on top tier now.
I might give you a car.
No, fuck that. Bloody cars. Fucking 8-beamers. That was a bit of a random thing. Yeah, they just sort of rang me out of the blue and said, we need to get your bike in.
Well, better make sure it's safe.
Yeah. Better than the ass falling out of it when you're doing 60 in the whatever and whatever. I don't know. I've forgotten. I've lived there in a long time.
He hasn't been on a road for so long. Just sits there on his driveway looking for FedEx deliveries.
I don't even know what commuting is. Cars travel. I don't know how it works anymore. It's been a while.
If you're really in this country, you become a FedEx driver.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can get free consoles, listen to podcasts. Whenever I mean, it ticks so ending. Actually, drive past your house.
Right. Yep. And misinterpret the weather.
And also, well, a bit of a funny story. So, my missus and my daughter went to one of her friend's house the day before for a socially distanced coffee in the garden. And I don't know why, but they decided...
Your daughter's a bit young for coffee, isn't she?
No, actually, she very enjoys coffee.
That's why she doesn't go to bed.
Yes.
I was drinking coffee as a child, very young, very early.
She doesn't have, like, a double shot.
Maybe that's why you couldn't paint the Warhammer figures, because you were shaking too much.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. You for our professional podcast.
Mate, I tell you what, this is a sleuthing podcast. This is, we're figuring it all out.
We're going deep.
For some reason or another, they had an O2 stat, one of these little things that you put on your fingers and it checks your pulse and your oxygen levels and things like that. And like apparently, like the missus had it, and to be honest, the missus quit smoking, and she's had it done at the hospital and the doctors, and she's been hovering around like 92-93%. She's quit smoking for about 6 weeks now, and she's up to like 97-98% oxygen levels. So like just stopping for smoking for that amount of time has massively increased her oxygen levels.
Brilliant.
Which is great. But then they put it on my daughter's, and they were saying like she was getting 87-88%, and I was like,
she's smoking 2 packs a day, dude.
That's
she's putting a bag of Camels next to the
right.
Yeah. So like, well, she's 11 years old. She's got asthma, so it's like, oh, maybe it's down to the asthma.
Probably.
And but I was like, that is still a really low. Like, anything lower than 95, they normally send you into the hospital straight away, and they talk about putting you on oxygen because...
Yeah, that's like where babies turn blue and stuff.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's really serious. So I was like, that can't be right. So I purchased a one-off Amazon.
AliExpress.
No, I got it today, actually. And, you know, I tried it, and I was like, 99%, and the missus tried it, and she was like, 97%. Daughter tried it, like 90%. I was like, oh, this doesn't seem right, because her lips aren't blue. So, like, she's obviously functioning. So I was like, what's going on? My daughter has really bad skin. Like, she gets, is it dermatitis?
On her
fingers, but her fingers, like, get really cracked. So I was like, let's just try it on, like, your toe, right? And it was like 99% because like her skin's fine on her toes. I was like, and I looked at her hands and like they're obviously like really cracked. Like you haven't been moisturising your hands, or you know, she's got like she puts on stuff before she goes to bed and when she wakes up. What's it called? Lint? Not lint. Oh, the sheep. Oh, what's it called?
Linseed oil.
Yeah. She puts that on. And I'm like, sheep? It comes from sheep, I think.
What? Does it?
I thought it came from linseeds. Hang on. What's the sheep? Hang on. Sheep.
Linoleum. Linseed oil is for painting, isn't it, or something?
Linseed oil is what you used to put on your cricket bat, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I put on mine. What about you guys?
Lanolin. That's what she puts on, like. And that's really good for her. But she. Because she's, what, 11, 10. She's a kid, so like, who cares about putting cream?
Lanolin oil is a waxy substance derived from sheep.
Yeah, you squeeze them really hard. No, not really. sorry.
That's not lanolin that's coming out of it.
But absolutely amazing. If you've got dermatitis, if you've got chapped skin on your fingers, lanolin, well, especially for my daughter, it's just, you know, just knocked out of the park. But because she's 10 and, like, you know, doesn't have a care in the world, she doesn't use it. But yeah, it was just really funny. It was just like, okay, right, let's just try it on your toe now. And because her toes are fine, it was, yeah, absolutely fine. It's like, because I was really thinking, oh god, like, I'm gonna, like, if this carries on, like, we're gonna have to, like,
you might have to phone the doctor.
Go to
I'm
the
gonna
doctor,
have to order another one.
Or, you know, change your inhalers, or, you know, it's like. It was. I was thinking it was going to be quite serious. It was like, no, you've just got really bad skin on your fingers. And looking at fingers,
might have to put her on the nicotine patches.
But yeah, no, she didn't tell us that like her fingerprint wasn't working on her iPad anymore because her skin was so cracked because she didn't put cream on her hands. But yeah, as soon as like it was like, no, your skin's really bad. And, oh yeah, that's why my fingerprint don't work on my iPad. And, oh, fuck's sake.
Your daughter's hands sound like my wife's feet.
She
has feet like wood. She goes barefoot everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Zola Bud.
Pretty much. I forgot about Zola Bud.
Zola Bud.
Ran everywhere, no shoes on.
Oh, man, how random is that? One.
That's brilliant.
Where is she now? Come on.
Wherever it is, she's got no socks on.
Bless her. She just wanted to run.
She did. Wherever it was.
And then typically the American bad person. Was it Mary Decker?
Yeah, Mary Decker, wasn't it? Mary Decker Slaney, wasn't it, or something? She had a double barrel job because she'd married some guy, but she was too famous, obviously, to take his name.
Clearly.
Wow. Neil, what have you got on here?
I haven't done a lot this last week. We had a couple of people around in the garden last week. It was quite nice to see some people.
That was before the show, wasn't it?
No, we had some on Friday, and then we had some more people on Saturday, so we've had, like...
You've had all the people around the house.
Yeah, well, that's as many people as you can see. I still haven't been around my mum.
How long did it take you to top up on Saturday?
Oh, hang on. Saturday. Yeah, I wasn't very well last Saturday.
Why is that?
Well, I obviously had people around Friday and we drank a few glasses of wine. And then during the podcast, I drank a whole bottle of wine. So,
brilliant.
I didn't feel too good Saturday morning, I've got to be honest. You may have picked up on the fact that I was quite hammered by the end of the show last week.
Didn't know this.
I didn't remember anything, I don't think, from last week's show until I really re-listened to a bit of it. I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I didn't really have much to talk about other than I've picked some losers for the National tomorrow, if anyone wants to hear them.
It's the Grand National.
It's the Grand National tomorrow, 5:15 UK time, obviously.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
You forget
a lot
when you're somewhere else.
Yeah. So, I'd done all right at Cheltenham the other week because I would listen to some other people. For 2 days, they did really well, and 2 days, they did a bit shit. So, I did all right. But nothing extreme. So, I picked out my own shit horses for tomorrow's National, if anyone wants to hear them.
Go on then.
Taking risks, which when I looked at it was 33 to 1, and it's dropped down to like 18 to 1 today.
So it's got to be worth a punt. Yeah.
Propeller Bourgeois.
Propeller Bourgeois?
Acapella.
Acapella Bourgeois. Okay.
Yeah. Which is a 33 to 1. It was 33 to 1. I think it still is. Or maybe that was the one. One of them went from like, oh yeah, this is the one. Manila Celebration, which was 66 to 1, is now 80 to 1. Yeah, earlier. That's, I was like, nice. That's proper outsider.
Manila Celebration, you said?
Yeah, it's all one word.
Manila, all one word? Okay.
All one word, yeah. Manila Celebration. This is the one that's definitely not. Well, if it wins, I'll be like, yeah, nice. But I've only got that stupid little massive bits of money. And then Biscarama is the one that's a relatively short odds.
Biscarama? Like, as Biscarama.
Oh, Biscarama. Yeah.
Biscarama.
And yeah, so that's relatively short odds, about 14 to 1, 16 to 1.
So I've always wondered, but I've never sort of been into the Grand National or anything, but what. Why don't you just put a quid on every single horse?
Because then you won't win any money.
But if they're like they're 80 to 1...
Because if the one that wins is like 6 to 1, you'd have lost £34. Mm. Or, yeah, so £33 probably.
And it's more than likely the ones that are at the lower odds are going to come in.
Well, the lower odds have had the most money put on them, generally.
So hang on, how does this work? So if something is like, I don't know, like say 20 to 1...
Yeah.
Is there a certain amount of money you have to put on it in order to break even and then make more?
No, if it's 20 to 1 and you put, say, £1 on it to win and it wins, then you get your £20 plus your pound back.
But if it doesn't win...
You lose a pound.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, sorry. I was just... I haven't done gambling. I spend my money. I don't gamble it.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I don't have much money to spend, so I put
you just gambling.
I put money in my bank gambling accounts for like probably over a year. So you know, it's not like I'm putting money in there all the time. So
you know, in the olden times, they used to call the horse racing places. You know, you get the bookies. They used to call that the turf accountants.
Oh, they do still do that. Technically, I think.
Do they, the turf accountants?
Probably, yeah.
Brilliant.
But now there's like. It's all bring online it now, isn't it? It's all online.
The bookie
on the course is a dying breed. Not that I ever go to the races either, to be honest. But usually watch the National because it's a bit of a big one.
I remember when I was back in England. I was back in England a few years ago, and I went to a city centre. I can't remember which city centre it was, and I was absolutely flabbergasted that the town centre, like the main shopping hub, was all just fucking bookies and phone shops. Yeah.
Were there any coffee shops as well?
Yeah, maybe some coffee shops and
hairdressers. I hope.
Just the amount of bookies was just—I couldn't believe it.
Money laundering. The shop from the street aren't so important anymore because everything's online.
Yeah.
It is particularly here anyway in this country because it was all like opened up, however many years ago to make it. Like you can bet on fucking anything these days. It's ridiculous. No wonder people get into serious trouble.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Don't back any of them horses tomorrow because they probably all lose.
let's move on to what we've been playing. I'm aware of the time. So let's crack on. Neil, you've got the biggest list, so you can start us off.
I will do a couple of quickies. I have had a game installed on my hard drive for quite a long time, but never played it. It's a game that I played in the past, in my youth. Football Manager, the latest version, was on the Game Pass.
Is it Kevin Tom's football ball?
Yeah, you beat me to it.
Ah!
I haven't played one of these games for a very long time. Because when I was, early 2000s, I think, was the last time I played these. And I used to stay up all fucking night just going click, 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 play one more game, do this, blah, 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 blah.
What about Emlyn Hughes soccer? Emlyn Hughes.
What, on the Commodore 64 in the cartridge that used to slam in the back?
Absolutely.
There was no management on that game.
And actually, that was the one cartridge I had on my 64.
I think it was the only cartridge anyone ever had on my 64. Other than the one that used to let you break into games and copy them onto discs.
Ow! Yeah, Action Replay.
Well, I had a freeze machine.
My dad made a homemade one out of it. Doesn't matter.
It's probably like this one chip and a few wires, wasn't it? Probably.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it was one of those, you know, like a disposable camera. Those little, when you get a camera film back in the day, and it came in that little cylinder. Yeah, he put like a little button on there, and wires in it, and that's where it held the electronics. It was just like a little. Now it's ingenious retrospect.
That's a proper DIY job, that, isn't it?
Oh, it really was.
Was it on Blue Peter once? Or
no, he actually found something not online, because of course that didn't exist. It was some kind of electronics magazine that someone. Mm. Here's how you make your own thing. And anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, good classic little trip down memory lane there.
I could talk about 64 forever.
Anyway, back to the game. I only played it once in the last week, and I played it. And I was doing my usual click and clicking, thinking I'll go to bed in a minute, and then look at the clock, and it was fucking 4 a.m. I was like, oh, fuck this shit. Wow. Turned it off, installed it. I'm not fucking playing that again, because I'm just going back. I'm not getting that into that shit again. So, and I didn't. It's too complicated for my smart, tiny brain these days. I'm just like, there's too much stuff going on. It's bad enough trying to play FIFA these days. I ain't getting involved in that again. I downloaded Outriders on the Xbox because it's got the full version. But I'm playing on the Xbox One, and it doesn't play very nice on the Xbox One. Mm. I played the demo on the PC, and I had a little rant about how there was loads of cutscenes, the unnecessary loading screens constantly, and all this sort of shit. Yeah, that's like 10 times worse on the Xbox One, because the hard drive's real fucking slow. And it's, I don't know how old now. It's my day one Xbox One I was playing it on, so that's quite old. But yeah, still had all the same issues that I had with that, and it's just, loads of people going on about how great it is.
Yeah, but I'm getting mixed signals on this one. I hear some people saying that it's really not as good as everyone thinks it is, and then I listened to another podcast yesterday. He said it was great.
So, yeah, I can't get past the shit bits to get to the good bits, by the sounds of it. So I won't be playing that on my Xbox, put it that way. Excuse me. Back to a game I was playing last week, Dishonored, which, you know, it's not new by any means. This is the original Dishonored, but the definitive edition on the Game Pass on PC.
What makes it the definitive edition? Is that just the...
I think it's had a bit of a lick of paint, and it's got all of the DLCs, I think, bundled in. But I didn't play any of those. I just did the main story. And you can tell it's an old game, but it was still a good game. Even now. Like, was that 2013 or something? It's quite old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the story was pretty cool, actually. I thought the thing you can tell is there's like not a lot in the world other than what you're supposed to do. Like, there's no life, as it were, much going on. But yeah, there's still like a lot of the old environmental storytelling and all that sort of shit. Picking up loads of books and all that sort of stuff if you really want. But I was just like, click on it. No, not reading it. I might read it later. And listening to the audio logs and all that sort of stuff, but. I'd sort of stay playing and then just fuck off and do something. But there was no achievements on PC, so I'm guessing I probably would have got a few achievements if I was playing on Xbox, but I didn't bother. I liked the way it went in the story. I thought it was finishing. I was like thinking to myself, this has not lasted very long, and then it goes on a bit longer. So I was like, that's all right. But not horrendously long. Didn't overstay its welcome by any means. And that mechanic of like, I was just, there's loads of abilities that I didn't even unlock until right near the very end of the game, and loads, a couple I didn't even unlock. So, but I was just like, teleport to the person and stab them in the face quite a lot. But yeah, it's quite fun, even now. And I played two other games. I bought a new game. I bought PGA 2K21, the golf game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been playing a little bit of that in the last few days. Done like 12 hours or something on it in a few days. I really like it. It's the golf club game, basically, but with a major lick of paint on it, and it's got all the PGA championships courses on it and stuff like that. It's got a tour mode where you've got like proper commentators, and there's like actual pro players, like, or digital pro players, no Tiger Woods or anyone like that, but he's in the next PGA game, which is now going to be by EA, but I don't think that's going to be out until at least next year. Not sure what they're doing with Tiger Woods in it, to be fair, after recent events.
Maybe they'll have a fast mode or...
Maybe it'll be like a driving game, sub-game or something, I don't know. Crossover with Wreckfest or something. It's a really... Like, the golf club was an alright, pretty good golf game anyway. That extra little bit of polish it's had in the PGA does take it up a notch, I think. I'd put it on pro difficulty, which is quite fucking hard, I've discovered. I don't know what I was playing it on golf club, because it's, you know, it's classic Tiger Woods PGA from like 2004 or whatever. Like right stick pack, right stick forward to do your swing. But this pro mode, it's the same mechanic, but there's no silly like tapping buttons to make it go further or put spin on the ball after you've hit it and all that bollocks like you used to have in Tiger Woods. It's like you play a shot and that's your shot. You're done. But in the process of like going from putting the stick back to pushing it forward, there's this added mechanic of tempo where the time it takes you from to take it from like the fully back to the fully forward is affects how much you hook or slice it. And there's not a lot, it's like fucking fractions of a second of like timing between nailing it and fucking it up royally. So it's really quite hard.
Yeah, but was that the same mechanic in the golf club?
I don't remember that, but I don't think I ever played it on this difficulty in the golf club, because I don't remember that being a thing before. Like, you did have to like put it back, push it forward, but there was none of this like, if you push it slightly to the right or slightly to the left, it would never go where you wanted it to. But now, I mean, you could quite easily do that after a while. You get into like your muscle memory and do it back and forth, not a problem. And that's a little bit of a problem at the minute, because I ain't done it for quite a while. So I'm slightly going off to the right, and it won't go as far as you think it's going to go or it's supposed to go, because you haven't slightly done it right, and it will slide or to the right or hook to the left if you push it off to the left. But if you don't so have the timing right, it has a massive effect. Like, if you do it like literally like snap it forward really quick, it goes too fast and does this massive hook to the left. And if you're slightly slow, which feels like you do it the same every time, it's like, nope, that was too slow. And quite slow, it's like a huge slice off to the right and it doesn't go anywhere. Like, fuck me, this is like really fucking golf, because I'm so shit at real golf. It's like, yeah, fucking hell, this is a bit too real. But when you nail that, when you hit one and it's perfect, it's just like, that's like the thing with like, when you're not that good at real golf and you do actually hit one that's perfect, you're like, fuck me, that was brilliant. It fucking felt great. It's just like no vibration in the club or anything. It just goes and goes dead straight down the middle and fucking flies. And you're like, yes, that is a similar feeling to nailing a shot in the golf. It's not quite the same, obviously. But yeah, I'm really liking how difficult it is, but at the same time not liking how shit I am at it. It's definitely challenging. I would want a quick shout out to Lord, because whenever I've streamed it this week, he's tuned in and put me off. So thanks for that. It's been a good crack anyway. So yeah, I'll be playing a lot more of that. I'm dabbling in, like, I know a couple of people have said they've got the game. But I remember that I overseas used to do like a weekly thing where you could, at different times, anyone could just jump on, there'd be like a weekly challenge. I've started dabbling and looking at, I've set up a society, but I'm not ready to put it live because I put a fucking week tournament on there and I can't put any other events on. I was like, bollocks, now I've got this one event that I've done and I've got plus 10 on. I don't really want anyone coming in until I've fucked it all off and start again. So yeah, I might be looking at doing something where I can get a few people. It's sort of like asynchronous multiplayer type thing where you can just like play around whenever. But totally recommend it. I don't think there's going to be a sequel out for at least a year. Another
when
golf
you say
game
that,
out.
Sorry, when you say that asynchronous multiplayer, does it mean like you have a games ongoing? So like you can just.
So I can set up like a week on my society. Like I could do it for less than a week. I can do it for 24 hours. Like I can say, for a week, this course is going to be the event. You have to play one round, two rounds, three rounds, four rounds, whatever. And I can put difficulty or set up loads of the things like parameters to say you've got to have like no assists on whatever, or like you can't aim. You don't have your aim circle or whatever. But right. Or I can have it all open so that anyone can play at any difficulty. I can put in like a handicap on or off. So if you've got a really shit handicap, it will knock shots off for you. And if you've got a really good handicap, obviously you've got to play really fucking well to beat the person who's not necessarily as good as you, but it's got a worse handicap. And anyone could just jump on at any time in that week, in the time frame, put in a round, or however many rounds need to be played. And then there's like, you can play for like a whole season. And then the administrator, which is me on this one, can just go end season. And then like, there'll be a winner for the season and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, I need to look into it a bit more. And potentially, the main thing is I'm pretty interested in playing. But it looks pretty cool. It looks better than it used to be, anyway, put it that way. And that was going back a few, the old golf club days. So I used to play it on the Xbox.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So. And I have it on Steam, but I have noticed that it's one of these remote play games, so I can invite people to play as player two, as if they were local. But. I don't know if that works with.
Doing, I was going to say, is there any cross play or?
It used to be on the old thing that you could play any platform as long as you were in the society, you could be on any platform. I haven't looked into it to see if that's the case. But if it still works like it used to work, then yeah, you don't have to be on the same platform to be in the society, as far as I know.
Cool.
But I need to have a little bit more of a look at that. So that'll be a week probably. Before I get anything done with that. Excuse me. And then the last game I played, which is not much, I played this game called Simply Chess, which is what it says it is. It's a chess game, and it's free on Steam. And the first game I played did really shit, and we got to a stalemate. We were just like two kings chasing each other around the board. And the second game I won really easily. I don't know how. I was just like, I don't know. I don't know fuck all about chess, but it seems like an... If you're playing one like a person, which has multiplayer in, it would be all right if you fancy a game of chess with somebody. But and it's free.
What got you into this?
I don't know. We were talking about something the other day, and I just downloaded a chess game. What were we talking?
Was it not when I was playing Stan? Were you online when I was playing Stan?
Yeah, that's right. You were talking about chess or something, weren't you?
Yeah, Stan challenged me to a few games. He learned how to play chess and thought that he could beat his old man.
I was going to say, did you destroy him?
Yeah, I destroyed him.
Excellent.
Yeah. So,
funnily enough, my 14-year-old boy, who does nothing but play Rust, has no concept of thinking ahead, you know, in chess. But it's good that he's playing it, actually. I mean, I'm not doing him the service that I should. I mean, he did all right, but I think he underestimated just how... He underestimated his dad.
Won't be the last time he does
that. No, I was going to say not for the last time.
Yeah, sooner or later. I said to him, it's funny because I said to him, you know, it's like, I remember when I beat my dad at chess, it was like a monumental, like I was so at the same time, at the same time, I was pleased. At the other time, I was sort of, there was a certain sadness to it, right? You know, So his time will come when he'll wipe
the floor. He let you win, let's be honest. He knows. Yeah, he knows that he let you win.
I'm sure he said that too. Have you watched The Queen's Gambit yet?
No.
Get on that.
It's a good one.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll get on that.
Not a maybe. You are doing yourself.
I haven't watched any telly a week. Like, really, not because the bloody kids are off school, so I haven't had my ironing time.
Right, your ironing time, you should be putting on.
This is one of the favorite misses, though.
Yeah, do me a favor, watch one of them and see how you go.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. So that's all the games I played.
Okay, Steve, you got anything to share with us?
Let's see. I played Dark with a Q. Has anyone played this?
My brother played this ages ago.
Ages ago? Is it that? Is it old?
Well, no, I say ages ago, like months ago.
I've never heard of this.
Dark.
Okay. Yeah, Dark with a Q. It's looks like an Edward Scissorhands situation. It's like a 2D. Well, it's actually no, it's not at all. It's a side view, but it's a 3D space puzzler.
2.5D sort of thing.
I'm isometric. Not sure you could call...
I think you play on a 2D plane, don't you?
You play on a 2D models. Plane, but it, yeah, it's a 3D space because one of the main key mechanics in the game is hitting switches and either moving in or out of the scene or flipping rooms, kind of rotating vertically. So like a window, you'll hit a switch and the window that was on the wall now is on the floor. You know, that kind of thing. And it kind of mixes up those ideas. It's really, really well done. The difficulty curve is just right. I downloaded it. I paid for it. It was like $19.99, I think, on Xbox, maybe?
It's $15.49 on Steam.
Okay.
I'm looking at it. It looks amazing. How have I never heard of this?
It's actually really, really well done. I only had to hit online for a couple of puzzles, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really well done. You can finish it in an evening, maybe three and a half hours, something like that, if you're really dedicated and knock it out real well. But it's the whole package, and it's nice, easy to kind of absorb. It's really well done. And a lot of new kind of mechanics that don't really test you too much. Like once you see it happen, like the flipping, or because there's certain other areas where you're at a crossroads and you can jump up and grab these what look like gymnasium kind of, I don't know, those things that gymnasium people use, the handles on the ropes. You know what
the
I mean?
Rings,
the rings, thank you. Yeah, you can jump up on some rings in the middle of this crossroad, and by turning left or right, you can kind of switch the perspective so that you're facing down a different one of these roads. Each road has a north side and a south side of things you can interact with. So basically at a four-way stop, you have eight ways to interact with those things. There could be a switch on one side of the road that you don't see in a certain view that you then have to go back to the middle, flip it around 180, and then go back the way you came, and then you see the other way around. That kind of stuff is very clever.
Interesting.
While also being very, not very simple, but being streamlined and very efficient with the mechanics and how it has you interact with them. Yeah, that was very good. I've got back into Vermintide 2, which is absolutely brilliant. Still brilliant. From the ooh, I assume you know it.
I played Vermintide.
I've not played it.
Two appears to be optimized for the Series X with a 60 FPS, so that's why I re-downloaded it. Basically, I got the Xbox, the Series X, and I fired it up and was like, "Well, this looks like my old Xbox." And sure enough, there's nothing new to play. So
I was going to say, yeah, it's
You fire it up, yay! And they go, okay, what now? Really? I mean, that's kind of how it was.
Horizon.
That was the first thing I downloaded.
That was pretty amazing, though.
Yeah, it's real smooth and nice. So now I actually got the expansion card too, the memory expansion. Stuck that in the back because you burn through that space.
Are we going down the N64 route again, where you got to get an expansion?
It actually looks like a PlayStation 1 memory card. It's very similar. It actually goes right in the back, and it's an SSD. The chip is right there. You just kind of slot it in the back. Very easily done. And it's just like, it looks just like the kind of...
It's, like not, a, that, a it's not that any games are locked, like, so you can't play them if you don't have this expansion
card. Not the expansion, but that's the thing with this current newest generation of consoles, is because they... If the game is designed for the new consoles, that means it's also designed and coded to take advantage of the speed of the streaming from the SSD. Right. Because of that, only like games that are designed for PS5 specifically and Xbox X or S, they have to sit on your fastest drive. Usually it's right. the internal one. I got an expansion just so I could put more stuff on. It works the same way. It's not like a regular USB SSD drive or any
kind
of
sorry. SSD. So this is a hard drive expansion, not a RAM expansion.
It's just a plug-in SSD.
Correct.
Basically. Right. But it's
a plug-in SSD. Yeah. And only Seagate makes them. And they charge a ridiculous amount of money for them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how much
recently.
Yeah, I paid MSRP for that one.
How much for how much?
What do you mean?
How much do you pay for how much space?
Well, the only space available, they only sell them in 1 terabyte chip card units, and that's 220 American dollars.
Wow.
You know, that's basically, I think that's pretty much the same as it costs for a 1 terabyte PCIe 4 SSD.
Yeah, pretty much. In the US. It's got to be the fastest SSD type.
Yeah.
For comparison, on the Xbox One, I bought an 8 terabyte regular drive to store pretty much my entire back catalog, which I did on it, and that cost me $180 for 8 terabytes of regular disk space. Anyway, so yeah, I did that. Force is good, but yeah, Vermintide. If you haven't played Vermintide 2, at least if you haven't played it. You've got to play it. It's just fun. It's pick up and play. You can pick it up, fire it up, play it, and you're done with the whole mission within maybe 30 to 40 minutes. It's first person. You play one of four or five ridiculous characters from the Warhammer universe, the classic Warhammer, not Warhammer 40K. It's not Space Marines. It's the old geezers. And you're fighting all of these rat men and stuff. It's just very, very well done. It's what we all of Space Marine fans wanted Space Hulk to be.
I think they use the same kind of scaling for like enemies as
Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead. That's it. Yeah.
It's basically Left 4 Dead in the classic Warhammer universe. So like you've got to go from the beginning all the way to the whatever your goal is for that mission, and it usually requires going through villages and castles and other places and fields and tunnels and things and sewers. And there'll be an objective, and every now and again at random times it will send just hordes and hordes of them at you, and you have a sword or a crossbow, whatever magic, whatever your character is, and it's just fun.
I remember playing tactile. One, and it was. It never felt unfair.
No, you can usually make it out.
Yes, if you play it right, and then right. But if you don't, you know why you've done something wrong, or you know you.
Oh yeah,
you've messed.
I mean, it's got all the same kind of mechanics as Left 4 Dead. It even has like the there'll be a rat man that comes and kind of grabs you with a stick around your neck and hauls you off, and you can't do anything apart from watch yourself kind of flailing. Other people will see the silhouette of your body being dragged away through the map, and they can come and get you. It's exactly the same as Left 4 Dead, but it's with rat men and, you know, sword and sorcery stuff. It's really well done. So I've been playing that, loving it.
Do you know about Darktide then?
I know that it's coming.
Yes, this
and
year.
And it's not apparently. Here yet. Yeah.
So that sounds like the 40K equivalent of what you're playing then.
Darktide. Darktide is the Human Marines, right?
Well, it says Warhammer 40K. Darktide is a visceral four-player co-op action game set in the high city of Tertium.
Correct. Yeah. So that's basically going to be the Warhammer version, but you're not Space Marines in that. You're Imperial Guard, like humans.
Right. Okay. I don't know enough about Warhammer, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, basically, Warhammer is like either you like Space Marines, you're like everybody else. So
it looks pretty cool, anyway.
Yeah, it does. And there's actually another one, Necromunda something. I just saw a trailer hit for that the other day, and that looks like some ridiculous high octane wall running, crazy stunt shoot business based in a hive world from Warhammer 40K as well, which is, that looks interesting, but that's all I have is just the trailer for that. The other thing I played this week, which is brand new, is Oddworld Soulstorm.
Is it really new though, or is it just a remake of an old game?
No, it's brand new from Oddworld Inhabitants, the Lorne Lanning development studio that have been making Abe's Odyssey, Abe's Exodus, all of the Abe games. Yeah, the Soulstorm is the newest Abe story, and it's built for the newest generation stuff.
That is quite surprising that it's come out.
They're still going?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised too. But it looks fantastic. They're sticking with the 2D platform style of game that the original two kind of were famous for, but they're also, it's in a 3D space. You'll walk around corners. The screen will kind of rotate around the places so that you always maintain that 2D platforming thing, but the levels kind of wind around environments. It looks great so far. I've only played it for about maybe an hour, 2 hours so far, to get out of the initial thing. And
is that an Xbox exclusive?
That's PS5. No,
it's PS5. It's on
and PC, I believe. It's going to
PlayStation Epic Plus right now. So if you have PS Plus, it's free.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
And it's looks great so far. A lot more mechanics now, and a lot of inventory management, which the other games didn't have that much of. But I guess we'll see. I literally just spent enough time to get out of the tutorial section where you're escaping a cave that's blowing up. And I played other things. I played Turrican Flashback, which is a complete fucking waste of time. It's a wasted opportunity. If you love Turrican back in the 80s and 90s,
is a properly old game, that.
It truly, but I mean, the music was amazing. It was good platforming at the time. And they have ported it faithfully to a fault over to current generation machines, which basically means you can play the shitty Amiga version now. With no, it's got a rewind feature if you fuck up and die, which, you know, games are too hard back then anyway. But, and then you can have like a CRT effect or change the kind of, there's a slight modification, like an post-processing effects you can have on the screen to make it look more like a TV from back in the day. But they haven't done anything to the actual graphics. They haven't done any, it still runs in 4x3 for Christ's sake.
Cool. It's like Snyder Cut of games.
It's very disappointing to me. It's a slap in the face. So anyway, you know, I think it was a wasted opportunity that came out of nowhere. And there's a whole menu where you can just play the music. It's like, clearly they know that they made this for people that love the franchise, but I guess they just didn't care enough to make it, you know, bring it
to remake it.
Right. Like the golden standard for that is Bionic Commando, right? The new Bionic Commando that came out, Rearmed. That was the best. That was taking the classic, making it beautiful, but still keeping the classic game and making it sound great. Yeah, they didn't do that with this, which is a shame on many levels. That's all I have. I played Sackboy and His Big Adventure. Who fucking cares? I played Earth Defense Force Iron Rain. That's one of the worst games you'll ever play, but personally, I love it because you shoot a lot of ants, and it's great co-op. And the vehicle that you get to drive in that handles like a shoebox on marbles. It's the weirdest vehicle mechanics I've ever played.
What was that called?
That is Earth Defense Force Iron Rain. Earth Defense Force is the insect Armageddon. A lot of insects, like giant insects, dropping in from the sky. It's a Japanese franchise. Was Insect Armageddon. That came out on the Xbox 360.
There's a button that you can press to shout EDF. Well, for
yes,
everybody,
there is. Yeah. There's an EDF button.
Yeah.
And everybody else joins in and shouts EDF because you're with other, you know, NPCs as well at the time.
And what is this, Earth Defense Force 6?
You know, the thing is with this is Iron Rain.
They just did Iron Rain. Did they just do a remake of an Earth Defense Force game?
There's a lot of confusion there because there's the original. They don't number them properly. So the first one I think was like 2011 or something, like Earth Defense Force 2019 or something. Then there was like Earth Defense Force 2021, and then the third one was Insect Armageddon, and then the fourth one was just Earth Defense Force 4. And then there's been a 5, or no, then there was a 4.1, and now they have a slightly more Americanized version, because apparently I guess the version 4 was slightly too Japanese, which also
means too crazy,
and yeah, and maybe way too much like non-gaming menu driven stuff, like item management that no one cares about, and maybe consumables and clothing. And then they made Iron Rain, which apparently was supposed to be more westernized, but really it's just like a cheesy 80s game with really bad mechanics.
Great.
Yeah, I love it. I play it with my brother-in-law. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's hilarious. It's so bad, and we just love it. This giant spider is flying out of the air, just throwing webs at you. There's like hundreds of ants on screen that are as big as houses. And, you know, you're firing bazookas, levering entire city blocks. It looks not that great, and it plays kind of okay, but it's fun.
Yeah, you can't argue with that then, can you?
You can't argue with that. And I think it might even still be about $49.99 to buy.
Wow.
It might be. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Well, thank you for that.
Sure.
Dave.
I've not been playing a huge amount this week. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty Warzone. Actually, and just, yeah, it's just a stupid shooty game that I've spoke about before. It's I just need a bit of mindless nonsense for an hour before I go to bed, and I've been playing that. So I'm not a huge amount of actual new games or anything, but yeah, like I can just, a stupid thing is with COD Warzone is just I can just open it up and play and not care about anything.
Yeah,
that's true. Assuming you've done the update, but you know, yeah, everybody needs to.
You know, but there's no strategy. Well, that's probably why I don't win, but I don't play with any strategy. just have fun with, you know, with what I'm at. So, although I did win a game.
You play in squads?
Yeah, I play dual squads, or I play, there was a new game type the other week, which was like Respawn. You could as a
multiplayer, they call that usually, don't they?
No, shush. No, if you're a team of four, but somebody's still alive on your team, if somebody's still alive, you just respawn. You just don't jump back in. Mm. So you've got to wipe the whole squad. I won a game of that, and I won a normal game of Warzone with four randos, and I survived until the end again. Just playing, and you know, as long as people play together.
What's with the it was, because you know, last time anyone was talking about, and it was all about people cheating all the time. Is that still a thing, or is that, because I keep seeing loads of games keep banning shitloads of people for cheating and stuff.
Yeah, you know, you're always going to get it. I haven't noticed anything obvious. I haven't been, you know, sniped across from, you know, the other side of the map or anything yet. Or people just sort of... I have seen people, not actually myself, but people reporting that people are invisible, because there's certain bugs where if you get a crate dropped on you, or you drop from a helicopter or have a helicopter in a certain thing. But like, I haven't seen it in my game, so I don't think it's common. But it's hard, you know.
If you're playing on Xbox, apparently. Do you see all the PC cheaters?
Yeah. But no, I suspect these cheaters are being ranked against people who are a lot better than me. So, because they say there's no ranking, but I definitely notice there's a change in when I go single player, and you know, I actually get like in the top 10 quite often, whereas if I go on squads, the level of players that I go against is a lot higher, or it feels like it is.
Yeah, but I think as well you'll find like how much communication do you have with your squads? Like I still think like just the fact you can have shitty players, but if they're all talking to each other and doing good call outs of where people are or where they're moving, that's a huge, it makes a huge difference.
So. Yeah.
Can you still hear people like when you kill them?
No, I've muted everyone. Like, no.
Oh, that's one of the best things that I thought was on Warzone. It's like when you shot someone, they just get that clip of them going, "Oh, what? They're in the such and such." And you're like, to try and talk to their mates, it was funny.
Especially
when you snuck on such, completely got the jump on someone.
I just turn that off. But...
So can I cut you off there, Dave? I'm just aware of the time, and I've got 10.
I'm looking forward to your.
This is it. I've got 10 minutes to run before I'm going to have to, 10 minutes to go before I have to run. So let me just finish off by, first things first, I was hoping to play Pac-Man 99, which got released this week on the Switch. But I went and went to turn on my Switch, and for some reason it won't work through the dock onto the television anymore. So my dock seems to be pooched.
You checked the leads and everything?
I've checked the leads, I've unplugged them, I've replugged them, I've done all the sort of stuff that people said online to try and do. I've blown into the ports, it's not working. I've got drift on one of the Joy-Cons as well, if I take it out and play it. I'm beginning to lose, my love affair with the Switch is suddenly over.
It's starting to turn into your love affair with eBay and selling it as slightly used.
I'm going to be completely honest with you here as well. You know what? The problems with the Switch, they all seem to start occurring bizarrely around about the time that my kids started to use the Switch more. It's fucking funny, that, isn't it?
Coincidence.
Fucking destroyers of worlds. Anyway, so I'm just pretty much abandoning the Switch now as a console of mine because it's just going to drive me insane and make me angry.
Just play the Wii U versions of everything instead.
Yeah, I'm going to break out the Wii U. I'm going to break out the Wii again at some point. I missed that. I was enjoying that when that was out. But I have been playing on Dave's recommendation, that Luck Be a Landlord. So I downloaded the demo of that. So anyone who was listening last week or anyone who wasn't listening last week and Steve maybe who probably didn't listen last week because he doesn't listen.
I heard half of it.
So Luck Be a Landlord. It's the best way to describe it, I guess, is you. It's a fruit machine simulator, but you're basically you start it. And the guy goes, I can't really remember what he says, but welcome to the Fruit Machine Simulator. Your rent is due in 5 spins, and it's 25 coins. Yep. And you spin, and 3 things pop up on the reels, and you get 3 coins. But then it suddenly gives you the options to populate one more thing. Mm. Like it gives you a choice of 3 things, and you can pick one of them to put onto the reels. And so you spin again and then 4 things come up because you now have 4 things and you get 4 coins. And as you progress and choose different things to put on the reels, they interact with each other. So the more you populate, the more different things come up. Like you can have flowers and then you can have watering cans. And if the flowers turn up next to each other, you get extra coins. And so, and there's loads of different series of, like you can focus on loads of different things. So you could focus on, they have like bounty hunters and robbers and things like that. And you could start to populate those in there. Or they have hearts, clubs, diamonds, spades. And you might choose to sort of go down that route and populating your thing of those. But if you spread yourself too thinly across everything, then you're not going to reap the benefits of everything interacting together. Anyway, it's very simple. It looks really simple. And I downloaded the demo and I couldn't stop playing it. It's fucking absolutely astounding.
It's funny because, I remember like I said about it and I remember the comment, I think it was you and Neil. Was it Neil? I can't remember. But it's like,
I was drunk because I don't remember.
It's like, no, like looked at it, no, not for me. And I was like, oh, but it's so addictive though. Like just watching people play it. But you've obviously downloaded it. We're downloading the demo.
Well, there's a demo on Steam, so I suggest. There's a part of me that worried because I couldn't stop playing it, and I was like, "Oh my god, fruit machine addiction." But really, it's more of I don't know. Do you know, it sort of reminds me of just playing something like Slay the Spire, right? Where you're building a deck.
But you're
not deck building, you're fruit machine building. It's really odd. It's very clever. And I right now I'm on a buying hiatus. But as soon as my hiatus of buying is over, I don't know. I might just buy it anyway. It was awesome.
How much is it? A couple of quid?
It's not
like
much.
A fiver.
Yeah, it's not. Hey, look, I know this is where Neil goes, well, you just fucking buy it, right? Okay, no, look, I'm on a buying hiatus. Doesn't matter how much it was. Okay, mister, I don't have any money. You literally bought one of the most expensive HOTAS setups known to man.
Oh, all right, not that's pretty expensive.
You've got 5 minutes. You can talk to Neil about his HOTAS.
Which one is it?
I got a Logitech X56.
Okay. All right, that's not too bad. I got the size.
It's not stupid money. It's not crazy money.
No, it's not. It's getting
more
there.
Than a Thrustmaster, but yeah,
it is.
You know, it's not like ridiculous. Like I haven't spent a grand on it or anything stupid.
Well, is it close in price to the Rhino?
Huh?
Is it close in price to the Rhino?
How much was
Rhino.
It?
It is the Rhino.
He's asking you.
It is the Rhino. Fuck it.
X56 Rhino. Yeah.
Woo! All right, that's too rich for my blood gas.
See?
Woo! I mean, I want the Rhino.
I had noticed that like Neil hasn't played any games.
200 quid?
It's MSRP is like 500 in the States.
Wow.
Yeah, the Rhino. Or at least it was back when I was in the market. I got a Cytec because it was like 120, I think.
Well, this is Logitech is like, they bought Cytec. So it's, you know, it's the same thing as the Rhino. They had, as the X56 Rhino was made by Cytec. It's now got a Logitech label on it. And it's got a bit more like color on it.
I thought mine was the
yeah, there was an X52
X52 Pro, the silver one.
Yeah,
that's what I have.
Yeah, yeah, 52 Pro probably, I think.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Yeah, I like it, but I've only played Star Wars Squadrons on it, so you know.
Get on
really
Elite.
Getting...
Oh
yeah, I know, that's why I bought it. So but I haven't Elite. My finger was hurting. That's why I've not been playing it all week.
Yeah,
so.
you couldn't manipulate your POV hat accurately. Is that
I don't know if that was because I was trying to reach those bloody... Yeah, I've got like three hat things on the front, the back end of it, and I'm like, I fucking can't get my thumb up there, so I don't know if I've done something with my hat. But hands feel better now, so...
Get on it.
Going to be on the
get
Elite.
Get your thumb up there.
But then I've got to work out what button's going to do what. Because there's fucking buttons everywhere.
It's a full-time job getting that configured for any game that you buy. And then getting used to that configuration.
And then hopefully Elite at least will tell me the right, like it will say press button A, for example, instead of press button 1. Like,
yeah.
Which is what Squadrons does.
It's got built-in support for all the major HOTAS setups now. So like you plug it in and go, oh, it's this, and then the keys will just kind of change.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Good stuff.
Good. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to wrap us up. I'd like to keep going, but unfortunately, I can't.
I promise if he gets off.
Yeah.
By
12. Yeah.
It's time for murder.
Steve, thanks for joining us. It's good to hear your voice again and catch up.
Yeah. Likewise, I enjoy being on podcasts.
Yeah.
I should do one.
Yeah, please come and join us.
I'm available anytime. Yeah. Just let me know. Yeah. Let me know.
Wonderful. Anytime. Wonderful. Okay. Dave, Neil, thanks very much. Everybody else who sent stuff in or listens, contributes, makes us do it. It's the reason we do it is for you. And we appreciate the time you take to listen to us. And heads up as well to all our other podcast brethren who are putting in the hours and putting the content out. We it's appreciated it's from everyone, except for Game Punchers.
All right.
Don't worry, Steve. You are about to put content out.
It feels that way. Yes,
you are.
Hopefully, yes.
We're back. Not next week. Week after, aren't we?
It's supposed to be a week off next week. Yeah. So yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Well, thanks everyone, and until next time. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Wonderful.
Well, that went well.
Nice. That was good.
That was good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have to go. So, guys, thank you very much.
farewell.
Yep.
All right. I'll
catch you later.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.